Like this show and want to make your own? Let me tell you about Anchor. It's free, and they have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are endless for what you can create, whether it's music analysis, your own radio show, or something the world's never heard before. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. And you can also make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hi, and welcome to the Vocal Fries podcast, the podcast about linguistic discrimination.
I'm Megan Figueroa.
And I'm Carrie Gillen. And today we're going to be talking with two out of the three women from Wine and Crime.
Yay! It's very exciting.
Yeah, it was a super fun episode.
Yeah, and we recorded it a while ago, so there's a joke that may not be relevant anymore. We talk about the NPR raccoon, the raccoon that scaled the NPR building. So everyone can remember that adorable raccoon that made it to the top.
That was very stressful.
It was stressful. So if you don't know what we're talking about, you can Google it and you don't have to be stressed out because you'll know that the raccoon made it.
Yeah, I entered about midway through the story. The raccoon was part of the way up and then was like climbing back down, but then it went back up again. Oh my goodness.
And then it took a nap. And then I was like, really just like, felt like that was, I really connected with it at that point.
Yeah. Have you ever take a nap just because you're stressed out?
Yes.
Yeah.
All the time. I can't tell you how many dissertation naps I took or PhD nap, like the doctoral program naps I took.
I just said there's one in particular where I was just very stressed out because it's a complicated story, but basically my friend was being kind of mean to a different friend and I just didn't know how to deal with the situation and it was very hot. So I fell asleep.
Oh my gosh, I love it. And as like someone who suffers from anxiety, if I can manage to fall asleep when something stressful is happening, just let me.
Yeah, seriously.
Let me have the time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the other problem. Normally, if I'm stressed out, I can't sleep. So
yeah.
That's why I was so confused by this stress nap I took.
Yeah.
I just noped out of there.
Oh, you noped. I love it.
This was long before noping was a word.
It's okay. Well, I can't help but think about Leslie Nope now.
But, well, there's that too. It's also way before Leslie Nope.
Yeah. Oh, I need a stress nap. It's just funny because I just got up like an hour ago.
Yeah. I call okay. Bullshit on that. So I don't know how to talk about this without giving away where it came from. So if you know what we're talking about, well, yeah, we're subtweeting someone. But anyway.
This is what you get when you have a podcast. You got more of a platform to subtweet.
Yeah. Well, some people have a bigger platform on Twitter than our listenership. But, you know, this is our way of getting the word out. Anyway, please, whatever you do, do not mock people's names, especially if you're a white person and the person has an Asian name or an African name or, you know, some name that's not quote unquote white.
Right.
Just don't.
Yeah.
Remember that there's a power differential there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're mocking someone for having a more difficult European name, that's still kind of a shitty thing to do, but the power differential is a lot less. I'm not saying it's not there at all, because especially, let's say you're in the UK and you're a Polish person. Oh my God. Yeah, there is a power differential there. So, but definitely, if there's a racial difference, it makes it so much worse.
Yeah, names are important to people. They're a part of who you are. Like,
yeah, part of your identity.
Yeah.
Even though you didn't get to choose it most of the time.
But, and especially when you do choose it, and when you do change your name to something, I mean, we should always respect people's names.
Yes. Bare minimum. Like, just bare minimum humaning. Yeah. Just be a human.
Yeah. This reminds me of, it just suddenly reminded me of the best skit from Key and Peele, where Keegan plays a substitute teacher.
A.A. Ron.
Exactly. So he has all these quote-unquote white names that he's calling off on roll call. And it really points out the fact that, like, what are we defining as, like, weird names or strange names, right? Mm-hmm. Like, a name like Aaron, which is spelled A-A-R-O-N, I mean, that is going to be strange to someone else. So, like, you know.
That's my brother-in-law's name, by the way. He gets A.A. Ron a lot.
Because of the skit,
because
right?
of the skit, yes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm sure that that was a thing that was said once in a while before the skit. Yeah, yeah. But definitely after the skit, it became a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some examples of people getting mocked for Asian names. There was the instance of Jimmy Kimmel last year where he didn't at least change her name. He called her by her actual name, but just he called her husband's name a normal name. That's not funny. You know, maybe it was funny in the 50s, I don't know, but it's definitely not funny now.
Yeah, and also, like, misogyny was, like, super funny in the 50s, too, so I don't think we want to go back to that.
Right. No, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. He also made fun of Mahershala Ali's name.
Yeah, so again.
Come on.
Asian or African names get targeted a lot.
Yeah. Oh, it's just so othering. Why? I mean, white people need to really stop doing this. It also reminds me of mock Spanish, which, I mean, mock Spanish, I think the term, well, I know the term mock Spanish was created by a University of Arizona anthropologist, Jane Hill. So it's anytime something like, ugh, fucking Drinco de Mayo, like saying that, you know, that would be mock Spanish. But it's everywhere. So, like,
is it even mock Spanish? It just sounds like you're the idiot. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, yeah, mock Spanish is also known as you're the idiot.
Oh, okay, so, good. Yeah, I think we should call it that, yes.
Yeah. Anytime people add O or A to things, they think that they're, I don't know, being fucking clever or cute, and it's not. It's just, it's mocking a language that's spoken by a lot of people, and even if it weren't spoken by a lot of people, it'll still be fucked up. But it's like this mocking people's names or pretending like you can't pronounce it or not even trying to pronounce it. Like, make an effort. Ask someone how to pronounce their name. It's bare minimum civility here.
Right. And if all the sounds are in English, then you have no excuse.
Right.
Right. If there are sounds that do not exist in English, then there's got to be some modification involved. But the modification should not be mocking.
Right. My last name, which has a trilled R, so like the Spanish rolling R. And sometimes I have a hard time pronouncing it, my own last name, because, again, my Spanish is not native.
Yeah, it's hard for me to do the rolling R in the middle of a word. I can do it on its own, but...
Yeah, like on its own, it's easier. But yeah, so Figueroa. I usually tap it instead of trill it.
Right.
No one says my last name right if they're not a Spanish speaker. But I'm not usually made fun of it for it.
Yeah, I think it's a common enough name that it would be less likely to be picked on, whereas the woman who plays Suzanne Crazy Eyes...
And Orange is the New Black.
Her name is not difficult to pronounce, but her name gets mocked all the time.
So I guess she goes by Uzo mostly, but her full first name is Uzo Maka. And I love this quote from her. She said, in grade school, because my last name started with an A, I was the first in roll call, and nobody ever knew how to pronounce it. So I went home and asked my mom if I could be called Zoe. I remember she was cooking, and in her Nigerian accent, she said, why? I said, nobody can pronounce it. Without missing a beat, she said, if they can learn to say
Tchaikovsky
and Michelangelo and Dostoyevsky, they can learn to say Uzo Maka. Tchaikovsky! I know. I have a hard time with that. But anyway, there's a power differential. He had more power than me, so go away, Tchaikovsky. Dang it! See, I was going to have a hard time again with it.
Tchaikovsky. And I'm probably still saying that wrong, right? I'm still anglicizing that.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, Uzumaki, that's... All those sounds are in English.
Yeah.
Nothing about that is difficult. Nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, and one more thing before we begin. So a friend of mine posted about our episodes, and she was on episode 10, Down in the Holler, with Paul Reed. And she was very happy with that episode because she lives in the South now. She moved from, well, all over the place, but more recently from Phoenix to North Carolina. And one of her friends said... Why isn't this called a Spudcast?
No, that is so cute.
I was like, okay, I have to at least talk about that. We're a link pod and a Spudcast.
Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. If anyone else has any adorable things they want to share about our podcast, please let us know. Oh, and we just passed our year. Anniversary. So happy anniversary to us. I think this is a fun episode to release during, like, basically around our year anniversary, talking to other podcasters who are hilarious women. So
they're very funny. Yes. Oh, and we just released our July bonus episode, which also interviews podcasters.
Yes.
The podcasters from Talk the Talk. And that is also very fun. And they interview us for their bonus episode. So for both of us, it's $5 a month if you want to access those episodes. So we also have $3 a month and $1 a month levels. The $3, you get a sticker. And the $1, you just get a thank you.
Yes, and you should because
it's so fun.
It's fun.
Both of them are so fun.
Yeah, and I mean, if you got a taste of our June bonus episode, hopefully you liked it. I think the bonus episodes are really fun.
Yeah. On our episode, we talk about Australia mostly because that's where they're located.
And yeah.
Well, they're all Australian, but one of them is formerly American, so.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What a dream. I just like think about how, like, in 10 years, 20 years, is there a way I can say I'm a former American?
Well, it's hard, but it's not impossible.
I know.
So yeah, hope you enjoy this episode and talk to you soon.
This is very exciting. We have Amanda and Lucy from Wine and Crime.
What's up?
Hello.
And we don't have Kenyon.
No, she broke her back in a tragic raccoon wall climbing accident on the NPR building in St. Paul. The NPR raccoon is Kenyon in a costume.
Yep. That's wow. What happened.
Yup. Dead ass dough.
I knew it. Mm-hmm. I knew that raccoon looked a little familiar.
Exactly. No, she threw her back out. She's going to kill me for comparing her to the NPR raccoon, but yeah, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
Love you. Hope you're feeling better.
She'll get over it.
It would be weird if she hadn't hurt her back in that. So actually, for our listeners who don't know, Wine and Crime is a true crime / comedy podcast. And in your bio on iTunes, you say, join three friends as they chug wine, chat true crime, and unleash their worst Minnesotan accents.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, you'll bet.
So that last bit is exactly why we wanted to talk to you. I mean, we would love to have talked to you otherwise, but I mean, our podcast is about linguistic discrimination.
So you needed an excuse to reach out.
We don't get to talk crime all of the time like y'all do, because we are also true crime fanatics.
Love it.
So for people that don't know, true crime is amazing. So just... If you have to get past that part, just, you know, get past that part. But it's amazing. And it goes great with comedy and wine. So, but I was looking at the reviews of your podcast, and this is my favorite.
Oh, God. Amanda's overbearing and needs to be off the show. We have the same favorite review.
That's my favorite review.
Oh my gosh, how funny. No, I'm just going to read one, but it kind of, it really spoke to me. It says, it all feels so homey with a nice Minnesotan accent.
Mm. Aww.
That's very sweet.
We try. Like
that. Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think that crime pairs well with Minnesotan accents, just as it does with with wine?
Well, it worked for Fargo.
Yeah. Hey, they said they were going to the Twin Cities.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, is that useful to you?
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah.
The Minnesota accent and just the Midwest accent in general is like the quintessential like 50s mother making a hot dish for, you know, everybody in the family. It's like, it is kind of homey, maybe like entirely misogynistic and horrible, but there is something sort of like gentle and simple about it in a way. So the funny thing about our show is that it is true crime, and we do talk about a lot of really gruesome and truly monstrous things, but then we pepper in this comedy aspect, and then we play up our Minnesota accents that we all have, and it just like creates a softer delivery for maybe some of the worst information you're ever going to get in your life.
Specifically with Kenyon's cases.
Yes, those are always so dark.
Yeah, they're real rough. But yeah, I agree with Amanda. It's just sort of a, you know, welcome home sort of a feeling, at least for me, obviously, because I'm from Minnesota, but yeah, it is like that Midwestern mom coming home to a hot dish. Feels comfy.
So you keep bringing up hot dish, and I know at least some people are not going to know what that is. So can you explain what hot dish is?
Take it away, Lucy.
It's basically a casserole. So typically hot dish has it's made with like frozen tater tots.
Oh, yeah. Got to put the tater tots over the top, and you got to broil it at the end to get the crisp.
A lot of condensed soup. Mm-hmm. Always throw it in the broiler at the end. Condensed cream of mushroom soup.
Mm-hmm. Green
some
beans.
Cheese. Some shredded chicken.
Oh, yeah. Get your veggies
green
in there.
Beans.
Corn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That sounds amazing to me.
It's everything from the food pyramid except for fruit, which you save for the Jell-O salad.
Yep. It's starchy slop in a casserole dish in the oven.
Okay, I absolutely hate cream of mushroom soup, so I could not eat this.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you could do without. There are ways around it.
Okay, okay.
But if you pile on enough cheese at the end, you don't even notice. Oh,
it's so good. I want a fucking hot dish so bad now.
It's just it's a binding agent is what it is.
Yeah, it's true, but I... just knowing it's in there.
Carrie's not on board.
For sure. It can be a little hard to get past the condensed, congealing, coagulated goop that is cream of mushroom soup. Anyone puking yet?
I heard playing up the accent. Is that something, does it just come out that way, or are you doing something special with it?
It definitely comes out that way when we are together. Which is so weird. Like, I do the editing for the show, so I go back and listen to everything several times, and I'm like, do I sound like that? And I'll hear my accent just be like, that's crazy. And, you know, we're drinking. Obviously, it's a little bit exaggerated for the show, but not by much, honestly. Like, it just sort of slips in. It's crazy.
Yeah, and we're all, Amanda is originally from Connecticut. So how old were you when you moved to Minnesota?
I was 9.
Yeah, so like enough time to soak it in.
For sure. It is strange though how the accent will come and go, because when I'm home with my family, I'll adopt a little bit more of like an East Coast style accent. My family's peppered around the Boston area and New Jersey, and then when I'm back here, the Minnesota accent comes out. It's so strange.
And then I went to college in Iowa, so they have a very neutral accent in Northeast Iowa. And when I came home, like, people would kind of comment on my accent when I first started college, and then it sort of like went away. And then when I went home, I would go up to my relatives for like Thanksgiving or whatever, and I would be blown away at, because then I didn't notice it before then, but it's so thick.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. But it definitely comes back when we go home and when we're around each other and when we're consuming wine.
Yeah.
Like, that helps.
The drunker we get, the more Minnesotan we get.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty common. Like, people that speak multiple languages as well might slip back into their, you know, their more comfortable language when they're drinking. And, you know, so I've definitely heard that before. I only have one language, so. And one accent, really.
Same, kind of.
So, are there any Minnesotan phrases or anything fun that you think?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you
okay.
Bet.
Not even that one. Okay, so nobody here says, excuse me, like if they bump into someone or whatever, they say, op.
Oh! O-P-E.
O-P-E. Op, just going to sneak past you. Op, on your left.
Oh!
I said it this morning in a text message to Amanda.
I say it all the time. I work in a restaurant on the weekends. And so anytime I'm bumping into somebody ever, I'm like, oh, sorry about that. Oops, just going to sneak past you. Grab the ranch. It's our favorite meme. It's so good.
Yep.
Oh, is it a meme too?
Apparently, there's like this Midwestern meme. I don't even know if it's a meme. It's just like somebody made an amazing cross stitch of Ope just going to sneak past you and grab the ranch. And now mm-hmm. we all want it.
I think, well, at least I didn't think about it consciously until recently. It was like a recent, not really discovery, but at least identification on the internet that Minnesotans say Ope.
Yeah.
And so now I catch myself saying it all the time. I had never identified it in my own speech, but it was always there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw something on the on Twitter a few weeks ago about it, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard of it before.
Go to a grocery store in or around the metro area of Minnesota, and you will hear it incessantly. Incessantly. Just a busy grocery store is like the fountain of oops. Incredible.
It's like a combo of O and whoops.
And oops, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so oop. Weird. I don't get it, but I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Would you say like within the oop there's like a kind of like an apology or?
Oh yeah. Oh, it's a very apologetic word. But in that like Minnesota Midwestern nice kind of way where the whole Minnesota nice thing is really just a Minnesota passive aggressive.
It's totally true.
Everyone here is just as much of an asshole as anybody from, you know, New York, Boston or Connecticut, say. But we're just quieter about it. We do it behind your back or in the car while screaming Alanis Morissette. So the nice thing about a word like ope is that you can use it with, you know, a gentle tone or you can use a forceful ope.
Like an accusatory
yeah,
ope.
The accusatory ope. Ope, you done fucked up, didn't you? Oh, sorry. Am I allowed to swear on this?
Yes, you are. Swear away.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I also think that in that passive aggressive realm that we were talking about, it's sort of a way to level the playing field of blame. If somebody were to clearly bump into you, then you still might say, oh, but in like a, oh, I'm going to pretend that was equally my fault as your fault.
Yeah, it's sort of like if you get into a car accident, always say, oh, don't say, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Oh,
are you okay? Oh, y'all right? You're not admitting any blame.
Call a lawyer.
Or any remorse, but you're still conveying the message of caring about your neighbor.
Is that going to hold up in court in Minnesota?
It is now.
In Minnesota, for sure.
Enter this audio into evidence.
It's probably true. Saying sorry, even though it's not actually an admission of guilt, is treated as an admission of guilt in the court.
Yep,
which
exactly.
is totally insane. And I bet, ope, it yeah. wouldn't be.
Well.
I bet you. Oh, I just saw your majestic kitty over
oh,
your shoulder.
Oh, yes. This is Mew.
So, sweetie.
Hi baby.
On that note, in Canada, Amanda, help me remember, we did a Crazy Canadians episode, and there was something about how the word sorry is not admissible in court because fucking everybody says sorry all the time.
Or, is that true?
We touched on it in our episode, and I don't remember the details, but something about the word sorry is not it's not supposed to be admissible.
I don't know. So I am Canadian. I have no idea if that's true or not. But it's true that we do apologize a lot. Like, if someone bumps into us, we say sorry. Mm-hmm. Just like...
That's your ope.
Yeah.
It's your ope.
Yeah.
You just don't even think about it. It's coming out of your mouth before you've even had time to process what mm-hmm. you should say.
Right. And there's even been times when I've bumped into an inanimate object and said sorry.
Oh, we've all done that. Oh, my goodness. We've all done that.
So it definitely should not be used in court, but I have no idea, you know.
I don't think your bedside table is going to take you to small claims court anytime soon, so I think you're okay.
Fair, fair.
Never say never.
If it does, please call us, because we need to do an interview with your bedside table.
Yes, yes, that would be an interesting case. Mm-hmm.
So with ope, though, is that just, like, across everyone? Anyone says ope, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It has no age, race, gender, any and all say ope in these lands.
It's a democratic exclamation.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Interjection. Correct.
I'm trying to think if there's another one. I mean, the stereotypical ones, like, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, we all do that, but it's not as... You're not hearing so much in earnest, yeah, sure, you betches, as you see mm-hmm. on Fargo. Though I remember, like, explosively texting the girls at the coffee shop, from the coffee shop at my college last semester, because I was like, you guys, I heard a yeah, sure, you bet in its natural habitat today at the coffee shop
mm-hmm.
between a patron. It was like the most amazing thing. And I was like late in ordering my coffee because I was too busy, like, screaming in my head with my face down at my phone to tell anyone who would listen that I heard a full yeah sure you betcha
in the wild
at the coffee shop. They're rare.
What was, like, the age range of this person?
Oh, she couldn't have been much older than me. She was in her early to mid 30s. I mean, I'm not slinging yeah sure you betchas around very often, but it was like a have a great day, you know, yeah sure you betcha kind of a exchange. It was bizarre.
Wow. Oh, wow. Love it.
I was like, are you from Blaine? What is happening?
Maybe she was.
I mean, it's possible.
You bring up Fargo. I mean, I couldn't help myself. I would bring up Fargo at some point. But it was, mm-hmm. you know, I'm from Arizona. I've lived here my entire life. I mean, it was really my first introduction to that accent.
Same.
I think it was for a lot of people, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
For sure. That movie came out right around the time that I moved here, actually. And obviously I was 9, so I couldn't watch it. But my parents did, and they would refer to it all the time. And then, you know, finally a few years later, I was actually able to see it. But I think it was funny for them because they were like, there's no way that this has all got to be a very amped up actor portrayal of these accents. And in some ways it is, but you truly do encounter people who are... It appears carbon copies of characters from that movie. Like, they actually did an incredibly good job of getting the dialect down, especially for the region that it's filmed in. Because even in scenes when they come down to the cities, as they say, the accent is a little more subdued, which it is. We have a much more, like, multicultural, diverse population in Minneapolis-St. Paul proper. But you don't have to go far outside of the city. You know, Lucy knows, growing up in her... town of Chanhassen, you get out to Carver County or any of these other farming counties for the most part, and it's like Fargo all over the place.
Yeah, particularly as you move north. My family has a cabin up in Baudette, Minnesota, which is right on the border of Canada.
It's just two blocks from Canada.
It's literally across the channel from Canada. But the accents are real thick. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. And it's so much fun, especially, like I said, after having moved away from Minnesota and sort of losing that a little bit, coming back and particularly going up to my cabin or to my relative's house near, like, Ham Lake, Blaine area. It's night and day. It's so thick. I love it.
Thick with two Q's.
Yep. And they don't notice it. That's their genuine, you know, that's how they talk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're going to hear someone like me and be like, wow, your accent's thick.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you from?
Yeah, exactly.
And also, get out.
It's so funny when the couple times that Kenyon's fiance Zach has been to visit Minnesota, and he went up to Baudette to the cabin with us years ago.
He's from Brooklyn.
Yeah, and he's from Brooklyn, New York, so his accent alongside all of, what was it? Was it the VFW where we were at? Where was that?
It was the Moose Lodge.
Oh, yeah. The Moose Lodge. But hearing Zach like genuinely enthusiastically want to engage in conversations with these like older veteran men who just kind of don't want to be bothered except by each other to like talk about hunting and fishing. And in comes this boy from Brooklyn, this like puppy of a boy from Brooklyn chatting with these guys.
A cartoonish Brooklyn accent. He's a cartoon of a Brooklynite.
Yeah, the juxtaposition of those accents was alarming. It was so funny. I was like, is he going to get killed up here? But whatever, he's fine. He made it.
But then you can talk about it on your podcast.
He almost got killed, though.
I mean, yeah. We'll give Kenyon time to heal, and then we'll do a show about it.
You just got to push through the pain.
Pop those pills, baby.
We never take a week off, so we're bitches about it.
Do you all watch the show, Fargo?
I don't have cable, so I don't watch it. I've heard so many good things, and I need to, like, figure out a way to stream it. But I have not had the opportunity to see it yet. Do you, Lucy?
I watched part of the first season, but I love the movie so much, and I've seen it so many times that I couldn't really get over the movie plot line to really enjoy the series. So
that's fair.
I kind of gave up on it.
Was the first season the one with Colin Hanks?
I love Colin Hanks.
How did you feel about his accent? How did he do?
I mean, I don't remember specifically his, but on the subject of actors trying to fake a Minnesotan accent, our favorite movie is Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Yes.
I don't know if you two are familiar with it.
Oh,
no.
Get familiar. You won't regret it.
Tammy Curry, and I'm signing up for the pageant because of scholarships and all. This one's for varsity soccer. I'm captain. I run track, and right here, I'm the new president of the Lutheran Sisterhood Gun Club.
Run, don't walk to your local closing down Blockbuster and see if they have a copy of it. It's like a cult classic. You can't stream it anywhere. You can get the DVD on like Amazon.com, but you can't. It doesn't exist on the internet. I think you can sort of find pieces of it on YouTube, but it's like a dark comedy about a beauty pageant in Minnesota, and it's has Allison Janney, who is a fucking yes. genius in this movie. Kirsten Dunst. It's Amy Adams' first movie ever.
What?
Kirstie Alley.
This movie is unbelievable. Yeah, Kirstie Alley. What? Not Brooke Shields. That chick who looks like Brooke Shields. What's her name?
The conventionally hot late 90s chick. Whatever. Anyway, so like none of them are Minnesotan. And
it's
they
so good.
Obviously had speech coaches to give them these accents, and some of them are truly horrific. Kirstie Alley's accent is awful.
Yep.
You know, 17 years ago, I won the talent contest by sewing these culottes. Butterick pattern 7432. And can you believe it? They still fit.
She had a big ass then. She's got a big ass now.
I don't even think
it's pretty bad.
Yeah. I don't even think amazing. Kirsten Dunst's accent is very good, but
mm-hmm. Ellen Barkin's in it, which like insane.
Oh yeah.
Brittany Murphy's in it.
Wow, yeah. They're all in it.
Yeah, there's a Denise Richards.
Denise Richards, there we go.
Yep. It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
Kirsten Dunst actually is in one of the seasons of Fargo. Too so
oh really that's so funny
she goes
really?
Back to that accent
it's like coming home coming home
hopefully she's improved
yeah. I mean I can't say for sure but she fit into the whole thing so
we'll have to investigate Lucy for research we can write off a an AMC login on our taxes right
yes.
Government
we're writing off so much
but Frances McDormand
oh, love her. I mean, she's a queen. Oh. She's a brilliant actress anyway. Yeah. But I mean, her accent was not only on point, but just her character. I think that it is a very quintessential Midwestern thing to be perceived as a gentle and maybe vulnerable person. But we actually are very reserved with our feelings. I think a lot of like true blue Minnesotans are very Nordic and very reserved with their feelings. And while they can you know, project an air of gentleness, they're not actually going to be very vulnerable with you. And that Minnesota nice thing, it's like people have their communities and it can be very hard to enter those communities as an outsider. So I was really impressed with Frances McDormand's performance in this because she is trying to be so reserved, but obviously this case that she's working on is really affecting her. She's pregnant. She's, you know, she's married. She's trying to build her family, but she's trying to maintain her like sweet strength, which is sort of like a Minnesota woman thing here. You want to be sweet, but not too sweet. You want to be strong, but not too strong. There's like very specific ways that you're kind of expected to be if you're like a homemaking woman in Minnesota or in the Midwest in general. And I thought she just crushed it.
Yeah. It's so much more than like the accent and the behavior. Like, I think that she got into the mind of somebody who would, you know, if they were in that situation, like Amanda said, just very reserved and just keeping a lot, you know, close to your chest.
Mm-hmm. And then closing a door to your bedroom and crying to yourself so that nobody in the other room where the hot dish is being served can see it. Which is like, I'm sure that, you know, that crosses all different types of cultural boundaries. I mean, there's that expectation of people in general, and especially of women in a lot of different scenarios. But I just thought she did such a great job of capturing the like Minnesota mom with a really fucking hard job, you know, trying to balance emotion and professionalism in an impossible way.
Yep.
Right.
Good old Margie.
So we should keep our feelings away from our hot dishes.
Yeah. It'll make it too soggy if you cry into it.
There's enough salt in the condensed soup. We don't need tears.
So you say the sweet strength. I'm wondering if you've ever felt pigeonholed at all by your accent. People assuming that you're going to be this Minnesota sort of nice or sweet or anything like that.
No one's ever expected that from me, so maybe this is a good question for Lucy.
Well, I think that for me personally, that would come off more in my demeanor than my accent necessarily. I think that a lot about Minnesotan culture, again, is that politeness. And we were talking about how, like, everyone's super friendly, you know, Minnesota nice, but we don't actually want to be your friend. We'll gladly give you directions to like the closest Byerly's, but like, don't invite me over for dinner. So that kind of plays into that reservedness also. Just having your own private life and being very friendly on the outside, but like I don't need any more friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a little weird like that.
It is odd, and I think that maybe that's where some of our passive aggressiveness comes out.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I haven't heard much about people necessarily being discriminated against or in that way by the accent. I do feel like folks from outside of this region view that accent as like, oh, that person's a little bit simple.
Yeah. Sort of like we view a Southern accent.
Exactly. Maybe a little bit unintelligent. Maybe, you know, just not even stupid, just a little simple.
Yeah, simple.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, which is untrue, obviously. But again, like Lucy said, you know, you hear that like super deep South accent and it can definitely trigger some predispositions in you. Mm-hmm. on and stereotypes, and
you're a Republican, you didn't go to college, you live in a trailer.
Exactly. Yeah. And for us it's like, you grow corn, you know, you ride a tractor, you play hockey.
Mm-hmm. You live in a town of 2,500 or fewer.
Yeah, it's a dirt road with a muni and a gas station to get your cigs. Mm-hmm. And a really crappy grocery store, which like, these towns do exist. That's absolutely a reality for a lot. Minnesota is a huge state. That's a reality for a lot of people. But the majority of us live in the cities, which is it's an incredibly progressive place where you don't encounter a lot of that. So it's like night and day. But that's the same. You know, I lived in upstate New York for a hot second, and everybody assumes that New York is just New York City and the Isle of Manhattan. But that's, you know, that's a huge rural farming state. And you get, you know, not too far outside of the central part of where everything is happening anyway, the city, the big city, and it's a completely different world. It's basically just like being in Minnesota with more hills. So I think these pocket communities exist in pretty much any state that you go to. Is like the very blue collar, like backbone of America, these small farming communities, things like that. And it's just it's a different world, and you can forget about it when you don't, you know, interact with people like that every day. And then that's how we get Trump, because we ignore we ignore our neighbors.
Well, it's one of the reasons anyway.
Exactly.
And if we build our country on slavery.
Yep. Yep.
So your description of what people expect Minnesotans to be like reminded me of the TV show called Letterkenny.
Hey, I heard about your breakup, buddy.
She's a sweetie for what, 5 years, right?
Oh, you're a high school sweetie, right?
What's it to you?
Heard she cheated on you, buddy.
That's a real kick in the knackers, bro.
Just a real ouchie, bro.
It's too bad she taught you not to fight anymore, buddy.
Because that's a fight on sight for you and her new guy, buddy.
Fourth life for life, bro.
Maybe if you'd ever been in a real fight, you might not be so keen for another.
What'd you say?
You heard me.
Almost bitter. Tarps off, boys. You looking for a Tilly, buddy? Let's have a Donnybrook!
Pump the brakes. You take your shirt off, but leave your sunglasses on.
What sort of backwards fucking pageantry is that?
You gonna fight with those shades or play PokerStars.com?
Have you seen this?
Huh?
No, I haven't.
It's a Canadian show.
I've only ever seen Degrassi, so...
You should watch it because it's a bunch of... So the main guy is like... He's the toughest guy in town, and so everyone wants to fight him. And it is just like full of... bizarre stereotypes of what rural Canadians are like, but there's a little bit of truth.
I get all my knowledge of rural Canadians from Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah, another show.
Yes. I love that show.
Yeah, they're pretty funny. Bubbles.
I am Bubbles.
I know.
I want my kitty.
Frig off, Bubbles. You gave me the cat.
I didn't say you could keep him, and I don't want him living in a fucking car. Bubbles, you've got tons of cats. Let me keep
him. He was a loner. I loaned him, do you?
Well, I need him. Look at my weed plants. One of them's dead.
I don't give a flying fuck.
When you don't have your contacts.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I guess all of you have accents or from places where people are going to assume that you're nicer than you are. Mm-hmm. Not that you're not nice.
We're not that nice.
People are going to place expectations on you because of your accent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure.
One funny little anecdote about our accents. This is actually Kenyon's anecdote, so she might as well be here. She had a college roommate named Maki, and Maki was, Amanda, was she from Japan or the Philippines?
She's Japanese, but I feel like she grew up in the Philippines. But Kenyon can probably just scream at us later for getting that wrong. And I do apologize. I was drunk most of the times I was hanging out with her and Maki. So I do apologize. I'm so sorry if I got that wrong.
Well, the gist of the story is that she had like certain nationality backgrounds. She lived in various foreign countries. She went to school in upstate New York with Kenyon. And, later she was living abroad again in like South America or somewhere and speaking to somebody who was from Minnesota, and he was like, I'm sorry, where did you say you were from? And she's like, oh, you know, given the whole background, he's like, okay, you say certain words and you have like a Minnesotan tinge. So it's really odd. So Maki had picked up Kenyon's Minnesotan accent because they were roommates, and like absorbed it because she'd lived all over the place. Her accent was just like a tapestry of all these different experiences. And she picked up on Kenyon's. As far as I know, she'd never even been to Minnesota.
No, I don't think she had. That is unbelievable. And I love that so much.
Would you say, I wonder, does Kenyon have a stronger accent, a Minnesota accent, according to y'all? Or... is there a reason why you think she picked up on Kenyon's accent?
I'm guessing it's because Kenyon and Amanda spent a lot of time together in college. And again, when we're around each other, it comes out.
Yeah. And the drunker we get, the crazier it gets. Because we also just think it's hilarious, too. So we'll like, and especially, you know, visiting Kenyon at school, because her school was also in upstate New York. So we were only a couple hours apart. And that school was a lot primarily East Coast folks. Mm-hmm. So they had not even interacted in real life with a person who sounded like us. So I think some of the theatrics of that come out, and we were just, you know, you play it up a little bit for shack value, mm-hmm. you know.
There are also certain words that I can't say without a Minnesotan accent.
Like what?
The word boat being one of them.
Boat.
Cop on the boat.
I mean, you can't say hat dish without saying hat dish.
Flatten those vowels.
Hat. a lot of folks around here will say milk instead of milk, and that drives me insane. Yeah.
I say milk. Milk.
Yeah, I know you do. It's disgusting. Bag instead of bag.
Bags.
One thing I could never, ever get on board with was pap instead of soda.
I'm the opposite.
Oh, we say Coke. I say Coke.
That's bonkers, and you're wrong.
That's just a weird... that's a Southern thing. Do you order, like, Sprite Coke?
Okay, no.
Diet Coke, root beer Coke. That's a thing in the South where every soda is a Coke, and then you have to identify which kind of Coke you want.
Oh, maybe I would have, but I actually just like Coca-Cola.
You don't do Pepsi Coke?
You just only drink Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I've never seen you order anything else.
I remember going out to eat at like a diner or something, because my dad used to fucking love diners. They were like his favorite thing. And when we first moved back, or not moved back here, but first moved here from Connecticut, we went out to eat dinner, and the waitress asked me if I wanted a pop. And I looked at her like she was an alien. I had no fucking clue what she was saying. And everyone at my table was my family, also coming from the East Coast, so nobody could clarify what that meant. So it was just like this awkward standoff of, I don't know what that means, before she finally said soda. Because if people don't know what you're talking about, then the knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, soda. And then I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I want soda. You crazy lady. What the fuck is a pop? You gonna punch me in the face? It's bizarre.
No, it's soda pop. We just chose different parts of the soda pop. So in Canada, it's mostly pop too.
You chose the wrong part. Just kidding.
I'm a pop gal.
I know. It's one of our biggest issues. It's why I wasn't the maid of honor in your wedding.
I mean, you said it.
Yeah. Yep.
To go back to the milk thing, it's also becoming very common, at least in parts of Canada. I have a friend who works on this kind of stuff.
Milk in a bag?
So bag thing doesn't exist that much in Canada anymore. I think it's Ontario and Quebec are the only ones left. I grew up in British Columbia, and we definitely had milk in bags, but it's no longer a thing.
Okay, because that's super creepy and gross.
It looks kind of gross, like a big udder.
Straight from the cow.
It's where it comes from. It's coming out of a bag, going into another bag.
It freaks me out. It's like a bladder of milk. Yeah, it freaks me out. The only thing that belongs in a bag that's liquid is wine.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
It makes it easier to freeze, so I guess that's why it got started. Anyway.
Oh. Clever.
And if you freeze it, I guess it changes the texture. I don't know, but you can at least use it to bake.
Oh. Wow. I'm learning so much from you.
Probably save space on, you know, transportation too.
For sure.
That too. Yeah. Yes. It's definitely more efficient. Yeah.
From our most recent trucker crimes episode, Lucy is still very much in the mindset of a long haul trucker trying to transport milk in the reefer truck.
My mind is always into long haul trucking.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
Well, there are a lot of serial killers who are apparently truckers.
Oh,
so we
know.
I'm sure you do.
Covered two of them in that episode.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, I know you got to go soon, but I just realized this whole episode, I've been like slipping into my little mock Minnesota accent. I apologize.
I like it.
Oh, please give us a sample. Say meet me down at the lake this afternoon.
Oh, meet me down at the lake this afternoon.
Oh my God, that's too much.
You can do it.
No, I can't.
Okay,
I
we'll
can't.
Break it down. Okay, meet me down.
Meet me down.
At the lake.
At the lake.
Mm-hmm. This afternoon.
This afternoon.
After, like E after.
Afternoon.
Afternoon. Afternoon.
You did it! That was amazing.
That's hilarious.
You actually pulled that off way better than a lot of people that we try to coach into it.
Just flatten everything.
We grew up with some, our friends were twins who were British. Well, still are British. And we used to spend like hours in our friend Natalie's basement with these twins that were our friends. Our friend Natalie lived on a lake and we spent tons of summers like with her at her house, just coaching these twins into saying Minnesotan things through their British accents. And it was like our favorite game. I'm sure they have PTSD
it was
about
so precious.
It, but we had so many good times.
Well, I'm glad to know that you find it fun, because I realized, I was like, am I being a fucking asshole right now? I'm just like trying to talk like a Minnesotan in front of them.
We love it.
Well, you can't really help it. People take on the features that they hear around them.
Yeah.
It's not an asshole thing. It's just a people thing.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
That's so sweet.
It's a human thing.
You're so sweet. You're so supportive.
Oh, thank you.
I love it.
I'd just like to say that I'm very proud of my Minnesotan accent. And also, I think to people who aren't from the area and aren't familiar with it, it would be easy to assume that a North Dakota accent and a Wisconsin accent are the same. They're very different. We love our little pocket that is Minnesota that has its own weird quirks and flat vowels. I'm proud of it.
And if you want to avoid a real Minnesota altercation, do not say it's a Wisconsin accent or that we sound like people from Wisconsin, because we don't sound like people from Wisconsin.
Never compare Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is the shame of America.
Although I'd really like to see what a Minnesotan altercation looks like.
It's very quiet.
Yeah, sounds like a pleasant conversation.
It's not a wood chipper situation. Yeah, no.
An outsider would never know the vitriol that's bubbling just below the
Accurate.
Surface.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for having us. This was an absolute blast.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I'm so glad that we could give you space to love your accents.
It felt right. It felt good.
It did.
I love it.
I'm ready for the day.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
We always leave our listeners with our motto, our message, which is don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
But really, don't be an asshole.
Can agree. I have a cross stitch that says don't be a dick. So similar sentiment.
Nice. Yes, great.
Absolutely. Also, don't be a dick.
Words to live by.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much, Amanda and Lucy.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you.
Hopefully you'll have us back someday so we can just loop right back around and talk about this again.
Mm-hmm. We got to get Kenyon in here, and I really need to ask her about scaling that building.
Oh, yeah. NPR raccoon. Look it up. All right. Bless your hearts.
Oh, and your accent, I really feel it. I feel blessed now.
Doesn't it just feel like a hug from your grandma?
Yes.
When you get one of those?
Yeah.
Love it. Bye.
The Vocal Fries podcast is produced by Chris Ayers for Halftone Audio. Theme music by Nick Granum. You can find us on Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Vocal Fries Pod. You can email us at vocalfriespod@gmail.com.